like someone straining toward a distant orgasm. Only at that moment did Ryan realize the total hatred the mutie felt for him.
Christy doesn't have anything to do with the cards lying between you and me, Charlie.
Ryan knew how barren and futile the words were, even before they left his mouth, and knew what the response would be.
She's your woman, Carter. Walks in your shadow, sleeps in your bed, fucks you, eats with you. Her life is your life, Carter, and her death will be your cold death.
Yeah, I understand.
First you get to eat and meet some other visitors, I guess they are.
Why not just chill us right now?
Oh, like I said, my people follow me as long as I chill norms. The more norms I chill, the more they think I'm close to a god. If I come up with a good way of doing the chilling, then they like it even more. You'll go out with a big bang, Carter. That I promise you. Real big bang.
During his odyssey through Deathlands, Ryan had visited any number of villes and camps, from the richest to the poorest. He'd also seen sticky settlements. They were filthy and squalid, with oily fires and open middens. Huts leaked raw sewage, with rotting food in stinking heaps. Lousy mongrels fought over scraps, and naked children tormented those weaker than themselves. Charlie's small empire wasn't anything like that. There was a winding trail down from the ruined buildings. The lush vegetation on either side cropped back. In the steepest parts, it became a sequence of crumbling steps. Ahead of them, they could see a towering cliff looming over the ravine. The farther they descended, the darker it became. Charlie pointed toward the wall of orange rock, smeared with chemical stains of black and gray.
You know, this place remained hidden for hundreds and hundreds of years. The local Indians were fearful of it. Bad place. Wasn't found until the middle of the 1900s. Cowboys were chasing lost cattle. One fell over the edge and broke his neck. Others came down and found this.
He waved the Uzi as they reached a wider curve in the track, gesturing toward the amazing sight below them. It was like a town, almost buried under a gigantic overhang, 100 feet or so from the base of the cliff. At first glance, there seemed to be a limitless number of little dwellings, but a second, slower look showed that there were about 40 of them. Many were linked together, some in ruins. There were plenty of cooking fires burning, as well as dozens of oil lamps, hanging in the gloom like golden eyes.
How many you got in this place?
Oh, last count, there were 90 able men and 44 women. 18 little ones. Stickies aren't great at breeding, Firehead. Chromosome chains are faulty. Some young doctor told us that, just before we filled his ass with black powder and blew his legs over the mountain.
Now the commune had seen them. Ryan had checked on security, spotting silhouettes on the clifftop against the pale yellow sky, and he was certain there'd been other sentries in among the trees. Someone stirred up the largest of the fires so that a great fountain of bright sparks went whirling into the evening sky.
Sticky still like flames.
Bred into us in the bone. Explosions, lights, and flames. Not even I can stop that.
Ryan and Christy had their ropes cut, but they were replaced with old steel handcuffs that clicked shut, keeping their wrists bound in front of them.
Got them from a traveling gaudy wagon we took a month ago. 20 sets of cuffs, portable gallows, leg stretchers, plenty of high boots with spurs, whips of all shapes and sizes. Stuff I never seen the like of. Couldn't figure out what it was for. Of course, by then, the gaudy sluts were all chilled, so I couldn't ask them. Yes.
Older women stickies brought them food and wooden dishes. The meal was a thick stew of what tasted a lot like rabbit. But the meat had been ripped apart and pulverized so that flesh, gristle, and bones were all a mangled gruel. There were sweet potatoes with it, refried beans, livened with some ferocious silver-green jalapenos. Thick pottery mugs of water washed down the spiced, mediocre food.
Are we finished? Good! Then I think it's time that you meet your fellow guests. Come on!
What about his arm?
What's that, Firehead?
The name's Christy Roth, all right?
No, in fact, it's quite not all right. What do you want, Firehead?
His arm needs washing and someone to look at it for him.
I'll look at it. I'm looking at it. What am I missing? It has a bandage, so what?
So you get someone to take off the cloth and check the wound underneath.
Too much trouble. Time he gets gangrene, he'll be dead meat.
For a single scary moment, Ryan thought that Christy was going to lose all her self-control and use the power of the Earth Mother to break the thick steel links of the cuffs. Then he knew that she would have ripped the Sticky's chest open and torn out his beating, pulsing heart. And no force on Earth could have stopped her from doing it, though it would have meant both of their immediate deaths.
No.
Christy turned to him, ignoring Charlie with his machine pistol and the ring of Sticky guards. The lean figure, with his grotesque mop of yellow hair, advanced to stand right by her, his face lowered to glare into her eyes. But Christy didn't even flinch, even when his anger showered her with sticky beads of spittle.
You little bitch! You were threatening me!
What did I threaten you with? I got cuffs on my wrists. You got 20 or 30 armed men close by. How come you're scared of me?
Me scared of you? I'm more scared of something I find stuck to the bottom of my feet after I've been walking in the woods.
All talk's cheap, but Triple Stoop Sticky talk's cheapest of all.
His left hand flashed out like a cornered rattler, gripping the woman by the jaw, his fingers clamping onto both cheeks. Ryan took a half step forward, ready to try to kick the Sticky in the balls. But the barrel of a musket was rammed into his stomach, taking his breath. Charlie's hand was squeezing harder, puckering her face, making the bones of her jaw creak under the dreadful pressure. Ryan watched helplessly as a thin trickle of blood began to seep between the spread fingers. Ryan was tempted to threaten the Sticky's leader, but he knew how empty and helpless it would sound. Better to stay quiet.
Don't make me lose my temper.
More blood oozed over Christy's neck, down onto her shirt. The tendons in his wrist were as tight as rods of ivory, quivering with the effort of hurting the woman.
You chill her right now. You best chill me, too.
Norms like you make me want to fucking puke.
But this time, you go the long walk when I want you to, and not before.
The suckers peeled away, each removing a thin sliver of skin from Christy's cheeks, leaving them dappled with tiny circles of scarlet. Her long, fiery hair curled forward over her face, as though trying to conceal the bitter wounds. She missed the curling nails of Charlie's bare feet by a couple of inches.
Want to take the cuffs off me and try it again?
It was full dark, and the night was growing colder.
Bats!
Around them, the camp was readying itself to settle down. A small boy scampered by, casting a frightened glance toward Ryan, who noticed that the child had a hideously deformed face, with his nose missing and the mouth twisted through 90 degrees.
Now we keep our guests in round these parts what the Navajo call kivas.
There were a number of the circular pits, mostly 10 feet across, topped with heavy iron bars. A solitary Sticky squatted by each one, cradling a musket.
Put them together in this one!
Another of his men was holding a flaming torch, so that the prisoners in the pit could see the faces on the two newcomers.
Holy shit on a sugar shaker! It's Ryan!
There was no time to even catch a glimpse of the speaker. A hand was laid between Ryan's shoulder blades, and he was shoved down into the kiva. Someone tried to break his fall, then Christy was pushed on top of him. Ryan opened his mouth and found it filled with the toe of her boot. The light disappeared.
Fire blast.
Ryan pushed Christy's foot away from his face and felt hands helping him to get upright, lowering him gently to the slightly uneven floor of the deep pit.
Stand still till you get used to the size of it.
Them Sticky pricks going to choke us to death with more prisoners.
Everyone keep still.
I know you.
Yeah.
Way back when?
You could say that.
Traitor?
Getting warm, old friend. You and me know Sticky's Ryan.
Abe?
Yeah, Abe!
We've been talking about you a lot of times over the months.
You guys shut the fuck up and let's all sit down again. Not that it's easy with even more jammed into the hole.
Why don't you shut your mouth and give your ass a rest, Harold?
He's got a point, Helga. Everyone sit down, slow and careful. Ryan, you and your woman, I'm sorry, I don't recollect her name, come this side of the kiva so we can talk quiet.
Name's Christy Roth, Abe. Real good to see you again.
You was nearly last thing I ever seen. It was you holding me in the darks.
The last time they had seen Abe, Ryan had moved to stand where Christy cradled him in her arms, The arrow, with its barbed tip, still stuck through his throat at a grotesque angle, blood trickling from both sides. The shaft was made of some sort of aluminum compound, streaked crimson.
It's bad, Ryan. It's bad.